For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
This is Ross Coulthart, and you are listening to That UFO Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. 2025 has certainly started off with a bang, and joining me now to carry that on, investigative journalist, co-host of Need to Know, along with Bryce Zabel, and host of Reality Check on News Nation, among many feathers in his cap, I've got Ross Coulthart. Ross, welcome.
G'day, Andy. How are you, mate?
I'm very well. How are you, I suppose, is a more pertinent question, because it's a few days after your huge exclusive with Jake Barber and co. And first question I want to ask is, how are you and how is the dust settling around that?
I'm absolutely fine. It's been a very busy time, a nerve-wracking time getting that one to air, but we got there, which is good.
Yeah, and you said that was a culmination of a two-year piece, or 2 years of work from yourself. And I'm going to skip ahead slightly. I watched your Fallout show afterwards. You had Marek von Remenkampf, Timothy Gallaudet, former Rear Admiral. Jim Segala was a part of that as well. And on that show, when you started off with Marek and Tim, you asked them both at the start to be brutally honest with you. What did they think of the segment, the interview, the context? And I appreciated that, because you were very candid to say you expect all kinds of reaction from the piece, with the video accompanying it, the content of the piece, and you were kind of ready for anything. So how have you found that online reaction from the community and kind of further afield from a public perception?
Look, it's funny. I've learned, Andy, not to worry about what the online community says about stories. I you know, if I worried about everything that people say on social media, you'd never get anything done. I mean, I think there was a small minority of people who were squawking and carping, basically saying they want evidence. And I was trying to think about it this morning. They remind me a little bit of that Monty Python knight who's had his legs and arms chopped off, and he's just a stump sitting there going, "Yes! Yeah, come on then, come on, what of it?" And I think basically it's almost like people are sitting there going, okay, well, we've given you the first-hand evidence. But where's the evidence? And I think ultimately, I don't mean to be disrespectful of my friends and colleagues out there in UAP social media, but if you don't accept Jake Barber, then go away. I don't care. Bottom line is, there are people in Congress and people in the very senior levels of the new Trump administration who are taking what he says extremely seriously. And it's not the carping critics out there in social media UFO land that we have to convince. It's Congress and also the new administration. And I can tell you, without giving anything away, there is a high degree of receptiveness to hearing his allegations and dealing with them and investigating them properly. And I think we're at the beginning of a long reveal. It's going to take a while. I was quite heartened, actually. It was no deliberate collusion, but I was quite heartened yesterday to see that wonderful trailer for the Dan Farah, Lou Elizondo documentary, The Age of Disclosure, which is quite exciting. Mm. And I can tell you that there is no organized government rollout. I love the conspiracy theorists who think that there's some kind of dark state attempt to try and control the narrative by using journalists such as myself. If people knew how hard it is to find whistleblowers like Jake Barber and to persuade them to go public and speak publicly about what they know, it's completely antithetical to people like him to stick their heads up above the parapet and talk. And I think he should be acknowledged for the courage that he's shown, because, frankly, I think it is a lot for people to swallow. The whole idea, not only of a legacy UAP retrieval program, but the fact that it's been so incredibly well concealed, using disinformation and influence operations for decades. But also the fact that behind all of this is this extraordinary link between human consciousness and a non-human intelligence. The fact that what we're talking about here is something that science, establishment science at the moment, says is nonsense, which is the idea of what they call psionics, or psychic connections with technology or some kind of consciousness. And again, I just shrug my shoulders. I've seen it for myself, and I guess I'm so used to it now because I've been dealing with people who are either serving or former psionic assists for quite some time, and it's very real. And ultimately, that's all I've really got to say. I don't really care what people say online, and they can squawk as much as they like, you know. Oh, well, where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? Well, fuck them. I don't care.
So, yeah, there's your first fuck them of the episode. Take a drink if you're playing that game, folks. You say it's been 2 years. So in my head, we're going back, what, 18 months, you're breaking the David Grush story. So when that story was breaking, you were already something like 6 months into the investigation with Jake. Is that right?
I was well aware of, and I've made no secret of this. I mean, I've said it. I'm as upfront as I can be. It's funny, you know, one thing I do want to say is there are these jerks out there in UFO land, very small minority, who think that people like me have just got a responsibility just to vomit everything I know out there for their entertainment and for their insight, and that's the end of it. And I should just say everything I know and let it out. And what that reflects is a complete lack of understanding of what's involved in doing this kind of work. And I guess what I'm really keen to urge, Andy, is for people to start understanding that this is beyond the UFO, UAP media community now. This is a public interest issue of international concern and international import. And it's going to take a while, but the world's slowly going to come round to the idea that there is a non-human intelligence and that there has been this massive cover-up, and governments like yours in the UK, the US, China, Russia, they've all been aware of a non-human intelligence for quite some time. And they're going to have to explain eventually why they've kept this quiet. But ultimately, it's not entertainment for people out there in the UFO world. I really don't care. I'm going to be very polite and say I don't give a flying fig what they say. You know, the bottom line is we will do what we do as journalists when we are in a position to reveal and report a story. And people can squawk and carp all they like, and it's kind of fun. It's also fun, actually, watching some of the IC bots, who I actually know. I'm very aware of who are the people, some of them quite prominent in UAP commentary, who are working as shills for the intelligence community, probably on a paid basis. And it's going to be very interesting when this all comes out in the wash for people to see who were the influence operatives, who were the people that were basically involved in running influence operations for covert sections of the defense and intelligence community, who've basically been running disinformation and influence operations on mainstream media and commentators for many, many decades. I mean, this is a long-standing cover-up, and I'm not protecting it, but at the same time, I kind of understand why they've done this. If you're a stiff in a suit and in a uniform, and you think that the public has no right to know this because you're more important than the rest of the public are, and certainly, you know, the public doesn't have the right to know about a non-human intelligence, and you think that there are great weapons that can be developed from this, and, you know, the country that you're part of can develop a superiority and a dominance using these technologies and trying to develop them. I guess you can rationalize in the back of your head that there is a reason for why this needs to be kept secret. And I just find that absolutely unforgivable. And they've used, and I think government monies are still being expended to this day on influence operations to stop you, the public, from knowing this story. And it's funny. I mean, you know, it's kind of funny. You ask yourself, what does it take? What does it take to convince people that this is a reality? And I mean, I'm not in the least bit surprised that lickspittle mainstream broadsheets like the New York Times, the Washington Post, the LA Times, the London Times, you know, all of the great newspapers of the world have failed to cover this issue. Even when Jay Stratton came out this week and basically said he's seen alien bodies. I mean, there is a very clear obstruction at the highest levels of what used to pass for mainstream media. And what we're seeing right now is the UAP issue is going to be a tipping point for the end of the age of influence of masthead media. It's why Elon Musk quite rightly says, we are the media now, you are the media now. And that's because social media platforms like X, programs like yours, they probably get bigger audiences than the average daily circulation of a newspaper like The Times. And yet these great broadsheets, which persistently fail to cover and actually even acknowledge the reality of the UAP issue, you know, they've got far less circulation, far less of an audience, but they garner such incredible weight and influence. And I think what's going to happen is there's been such a serious, egregious failure by masthead mainstream media and many of the, you know, so-called analysts and commentators who've had the wool pulled over their eyes, or worse still, they've colluded in the cover-up. There's going to be a reckoning. And, you know, I'm kind of enjoying it. I'm old enough and long enough in the tooth to basically not get emotional or upset about what people squawk on social media. The general reception that I've had has been incredibly positive and supportive. A lot of people are thrilled that a man like Jake has shown the courage, as have his colleagues, to come forward. And I can tell you, it's just the beginning. There's going to be other whistleblowers coming forward. And it's, I did say, I mean, I said on my own podcast, Need to Know with Bryce, that I thought 2025 was, all hell was going to break loose quite early. And this is just the beginning.
Since you brought it up, indulge me for a moment. So I'm going to ask you to put Ross Coulthart aside, you know, to hell with Ross and his life and everything else. If you decide this Saturday, News Nation exclusive, it is Ross and a camera, and you are going to spill everything you know about the UAP topic. And forget about burning sources, your career being over, whatever, okay? People disowning you. What impact would that have, generally speaking, on the UFO topic?
I don't know. It's funny. I mean, what degree of evidence is enough? I mean, you see, I mean, one thing that people don't understand is I love what we've got in the West. We have something so special. We have a functioning democracy, flawed, but, you know, we have democracies. And people like me, even though there is this ridiculous national security state covering this dirty secret up, we still are allowed to operate as independent media. And that's such a rare thing on this planet. And we should treasure it and we should value it. And so I wouldn't ever sit down and reveal all I know and, you know, screw the people that think I should. I don't think the public has the right to know a lot of the information about the weaponry that, for example, could be derived from this technology. In the same way that I believe very strongly that a thermonuclear weapon is rightly and properly secured by secrecy. If what I'm told is correct by people on the inside, one of the big reasons why this has been kept secret is because the national security establishment, or the very small cabal of people who regard themselves as the gatekeepers, they fear that even revealing the existence of a non-human intelligence would be a slippery slope to revealing technologies and capabilities that they don't want to reveal. And I don't accept that. I really don't. But in terms of whether I would ever sit down and reveal all, I mean, I know locations. I mean, I know the names of people who run the program. I mean, I'm very familiar, even before I met Jake Barber, I was aware of people in a couple of very, very senior private aerospace companies who are very heavily involved in the technology, because I'm talking to people inside the program who are frustrated at the secrecy and who think that there is no good reason for this continued secrecy. One of the things that really shocks me, to be honest, Andy, I did a story on the Australian Secret Intelligence Service, ASIS, which is a bit like your MI6 or CIA, and I did it 31 years ago in 1994. And one of the things we revealed was that Australian spies were involved in doing, as a Five Eyes partner, plausibly deniable favours for the Americans and the Brits, and that when the Brits or the Americans wanted an embassy burgled or a bug planted, sometimes in a friendly nation's offices, you'd get the Aussies or the Canadians or the New Zealanders to do it, because as junior partners in the Five Eyes, we were kind of above suspicion, and the bad guys were often looking for the Brits or the Yanks, but they didn't look at the Aussies so much. But one of the things that really struck me while I was doing that work was the excessive oversecrecy. And I spoke to a lot of spies, and it was my first introduction to the world of intelligence. And I guess I'd read a lot of John le Carré and, you know, all my favorite spy authors. And I had this notion of incredible secrets being secured. But a lot of the spies said to me that there was this ridiculous level of secrecy, that they would put top secret classifications on newspaper reports that were being sent back to ASIS. And often it was the secrecy that confounded an understanding of issues. And I think that's what happened in 9/11. I mean, one of the things that happened in 9/11 was, I don't believe the CIA knowingly held on to data to try and make sure that a terrorist attack happened on US soil. It was just bumbling incompetence. It was a bunch of spooks who were aware of alerts about certain terrorists coming into, or suspected terrorists coming into the US, people who were doing strange things, learning how to fly planes and not learning how to land them. And there were all the warning signs going off, but there wasn't the intelligence sharing going on because of ridiculous over-secrecy and over-compartmentalization. And I can tell you, I don't dislike these people. They're bureaucrats. They're people who are locked into a culture of secrecy, and it runs their lives. And it's sad because that focus, that culture of secrecy, is what is causing the problem for the UAP issue. I don't believe there is any good reason for why the public can't know about UAPs. And it seems incredible because there has been such a concerted effort to secure the secrecy of the program for so many years. But really, I mean, I've spoken now to very important people inside the program, some of whom have reached out to me from private aerospace companies who are, I think, toying with what they do. And I don't want to go into too much detail here, but I've actually said, why don't you just tell the truth? You know, what are you hiding? Yes, I fully accept that there are reasons why, you know, if the US has developed a, let's say hypothetically, if the US has developed a type of weaponry that the world doesn't even comprehend yet from UAP technology or a propulsion system, then I think the world doesn't have a right to automatically know about that. And certainly neither does UAP social media. I respect and understand national security classifications. We do that for a very good reason. What if hypothetically, as a consequence of the technology that we're talking about here, let's say there's some way of extracting energy from the zero point. Let's say we can draw unlimited amounts of energy instantaneously from the quantum field. And let's say it was possible to deploy that energy as some kind of weapon. Wouldn't it be horrific if that weapon fell into the hands of an extremist Islamist terrorist group that then used it to wipe out a city or perhaps even a planet? I mean, that's the sort of issues that we're talking about here. And so there are judgments that have to be made on national security grounds. There are rabid nutters out there who, in the name of religion or in some perverted belief system, think that they can hurt people and damage people. And so I can understand why certain things are kept secret. And it's part of my responsibility as a journalist to try and make that judgment call. And one of the things I found most annoying from idiots on social media who, you know, I've had death threats. I've had people saying to me, I'm going to kill you because you're not revealing all about the giant UFO. I've said quite clearly that there are very good national security reasons why I can't reveal the location of that object, and I never will. Ultimately, it's up to the US to decide what it does. But the public doesn't have a right to know about everything, and that's a very confronting reality. I don't accept, though, that there is any reason for the continued secrecy about a non-human intelligence. And I don't believe it's a slippery slope that if you reveal the existence of NHI, you inevitably reveal the existence of certain technologies or capabilities. We are involved right now in a Cold War, which is actually quite a hot little war with the Chinese and the Russians for access to this technology. And that's really what's driving the secrecy. And I think there are a bunch of nerds in suits who don't understand media. They don't understand public interest. They have absolutely no understanding of accountability and oversight. And they've committed crimes to conceal this. I mean, Eric Davis has come out, one of his soul speeches, Dr. Eric Davis has come out and named which presidents that he thinks were briefed. Now, just think about this, Andy. If every commander-in-chief of the United States was not briefed, and I know that they haven't been, was not briefed into this UAP topic since it was made secret by Eisenhower in the early 1950s, if there really has been a rationale based on a presidential emergency action directive signed by Eisenhower in 1954 that this should be kept secret, if that really is the case, that's absolutely outrageous, and it's just an egregious breach of the constitutional rights of every commander-in-chief to know. I mean, he's nominally the president, the commander-in-chief of the American military. And what if it comes out that sections of the American military, in an act of absurd hubris, have taken it upon themselves to keep secret from presidents and from Congress possession of technology that is not of this world? That is what we are talking about. And moreover, what if it comes out that propulsion systems and weaponry systems and energy systems have been developed that have been kept secret from presidents? Now, I don't know how we can have a rational conversation with Russia or China and expect them to behave rationally towards us if each side knows that the other is working secretly on alien technology. That's what we're talking about here. And I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, my country, Australia, is looking at spending a minimum of half, I think it's $400 billion, so nearly half a trillion dollars over many years on buying Virginia-class nuclear attack submarines. It's a huge budgetary item for my country. I've had conversations with ministers in our government where I've said, are you aware of allegations that the United States is secretly working on non-human technology? And they giggle. They giggle nervously because they think that that's an absurdity, that their ally would tell them this. What does it say about international alliances like the Five Eyes Alliance if it does eventually emerge that no Australian defence minister and very few British defence ministers have been briefed into the UAP program? That's the broader issue here. That's what's holding the United States back from telling the truth. They've dug themselves into a hole with this lie, and they're going to cling with their fingernails as long as they can to maintaining this lie, running influence operations on the web, because they just can't bring themselves to deal with the fallout that's going to happen when this eventually explodes wide open, which it will. And the reason it will is because there are patriots like Jake Barber who believe the public has a right to know.
Where to go there, Ross? So, like you say, you've got Jake sitting there, and I was surprised in that interview how much came out. I thought the first 10 minutes would be, you know, what I would expect in my scenario in my head of what a first-hand whistleblower would say who's involved in a UAP crash retrieval. Then it goes into psionics, psi abilities, it goes into biological effects. It's almost three or four interviews in one in a very concise amount of time. But we're dealing with a generation, I think, in generations where you need punchy news items. You can't do a 3-hour expose into that because people switch off. And I mean the younger generation is someone who's almost 39, so it packed a lot into 40 minutes. The Sai stuff then, really interesting what you're saying about this cover-up and there not being a slippery slope. You mentioned the weaponry falling into the wrong hands, but if you come out, and surely a very early aspect of any official disclosure, shout out to Bryce Abelin, Richard Dolan's AD book, okay? So after disclosure, we find out and we've got confirmation there is this technology, non-human, there's a non-human presence. The Sai conversation comes up. Okay, so humanity's got Sai abilities. How do you stop that becoming a weapon used by extremist organizations, individuals? And is that not another reason they would look at to say, this needs to stay secret, because no matter what comes out, it's going to end up in those dangerous territories?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're helping me make my argument. There are things about the Sai program that I haven't revealed. Yes, and again, let's just have a look at the psionic program. I mean, it's a matter of public record, and I say this to people who scoff at the idea that psionics could possibly be real. I noticed the usual suspects pompously asserted on social media, it can't be, therefore it isn't. You know, it's that scientific dogmaticism that says, oh, this can't possibly be true, therefore it isn't true. You know, this is nonsense. This guy's bullshitting for that very reason. If you go back and do the work, and this is the thing that I think there's a crisis happening in the world right now with maybe we've all got short attention spans and we don't read as much as we used to. But just go to the CIA library online, put in Stargate, and read all the Stargate archives. They do not show that there was no interest in psychic phenomena in the CIA. What they show is exactly the opposite. They show that Dr. Hal Puthoff, working with a private corporation back in the 1970s, brought in people like Uri Geller, the Israeli psychic. And it's funny, actually, I ran early Uri on my show a few weeks ago, and I had people emailing me, basically getting really angry that I was giving a forum to Uri Geller because, you know, they said, oh, he's a proven fraudster. You know, he's been proven to be a liar and a fraudster. And, you know, what are you doing running, you know, denigrating your reputation by putting him up online? And yet, if you read the CIA's own files, they show that they did a controlled blind test with Uri Geller where he was able to demonstrate his psychic abilities in a controlled environment, even when he was inside a Faraday cage. You know, that there was no possibility that he could be being communicated with electromagnetically. Something allowed him to connect in a way that allowed him to understand what was on those Zerner cards, the psychic reading cards. And that's verified in the CIA's own files. What does it say about us as a society and how manipulable we are and how easy public opinion can be manipulated that when John Ronson, an author, by the way, I respect and admire, who did that fabulous book, The Men Who Stare at Goats, which was eventually made into a George Clooney movie, and it quite rightly took the piss about the funny stuff involving the CIA's and the military's secret program to create psychic warriors. You know, you can have a lot of fun with that and take the piss with it. But the simple fact is, it's real. And I had this, one of the conversations we had very early on, journalistically, was when we first sat down and watched Jake's story, we discussed, should we hold back on the psionic stuff? Because people will just find it so confronting. And it's funny, I mean, I just think that we have to be open and honest with our audience as much as possible. And if we know about the psionics issue, we can't rightly withhold it just because it's so confronting. And so, yeah, I mean, I think we've given people a lot to think about. There's a lot on the plate there to absorb. But ask yourself, would we really put a story like that to air unless we'd been able to verify independently with multiple sources? One of the reasons this has taken so long is because I've spent a lot of time behind the scenes verifying, including with people still inside the program, that this psychic connection with the phenomena is very much part of the process. And just because people find it confronting, well, grow up, you know, get a life, you know, go and play tiddlywinks or something if you find it too confronting. I don't care. I'm a journalist. I'm not an entertainer. I'm not here to make you feel happy about the film that you're watching. I'm here to distribute information, verified information, to get it out there so that the public can make its own judgment. And it's kind of weird, actually. It's been really nasty. I hope it was some infantile teenage boy and not an intelligence service. But to give you an idea how vile some of the acrimony is, I logged on Monday morning after I'd been asleep all night after the story had gone to air, and into my inbox flooded the most vile, subscribed me to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sex sites. It was designed to annoy me, but instead what it made me feel was, if it's somebody in the gatekeepers in the legacy program, then all it demonstrates is that they've got something to hide and that they're worried. And if it's some person who's angry with me for not revealing all, then all it does in my mind is reinforce how puerile they are in their behavior. And I don't think people realize in journalism we have to make these balanced judgments all the time about what we do and don't run. So just because the psionic thing is confronting doesn't mean that we wouldn't report it. We've got an obligation, I think, to report what we can report without jeopardizing sources or methods and means. There's a lot that I haven't revealed yet about the psionic program, which I'm still working on, because I want to be able to tell the story.
I've stated for the record many times, and funny, I got a couple of emails about, I reviewed the piece for the podcast and the interview and shared my thoughts on various aspects. And there's this idea that there's camps of people are ready for the woo and people aren't ready for the woo. Now, I'm very much in the camp of, you can't blanket say either way that no one's ready or that everyone's ready for it, because both those statements just aren't correct. You can go into a YouTube comment section just alone and see some people are there for it, some people aren't. And I think the public would be the same. Some people would accept it and some wouldn't. But like you say, the information's there. You've done the background checking and you feel that's valid information to put out. I enjoy the conversation, but I see why some of the public step back from it, not just your piece, but that experiencer abduction conversation, because I've seen that face to face as well.
Look, the public are entitled to step back from it. I mean, one of the people who appears in the story, and he's he's the real deal, is John Blitch, Lieutenant Colonel John Blitch. And John talks openly in his full interview, which we'll be putting up shortly, along with Jake's and Don's and Fred's. He talks openly about how he was abducted. And I don't know what to make of the abduction phenomenon. And it's the first time I've ever put an abduction story up on any program. And what blew me away when I started doing this story, I've met a lot of people in intelligence and in elite levels of the defense community investigating this story. I feel very privileged and honored to have met decent men and women who are patriots, who think the world has the right to know this information. And I'm profoundly struck by how spiritually affected all of them are by what they're reporting, what they've seen. And this is one of the reasons why they think the world has a right to know about this, because they think it's improper that the full understanding that they're beginning to develop of this phenomenon isn't being shared with everybody. The most exciting aspect of the phenomenon that I have seen to date is the psionic phenomenon. It's the possibility, as Gary Nolan has in fact suggested in our program, that what the human mind might be capable of doing is connecting in some way, that consciousness might be non-local, and that what we're talking about here is the capacity to connect with something that lies at the heart of non-material science, but which is as real as material science, which is this notion of another realm that it is possible for humans to connect with in some way. And I think it's the most beautiful and fascinating thing. I find it absolutely intriguing. I haven't reached conclusions about it, but I can tell you, to come back to your point, your question, the people that I've spoken to in the military and the intelligence community, far beyond Jake and his team, and they have no idea who I'm talking to. I keep it very compartmentalized who I engage with. Everyone is profoundly affected by this phenomenon, and they think it's obscene that there is this continuing cover-up. They do believe that there are things that, you know, should properly be protected. I probably missed the context of your question, so if I haven't answered it, just ask it to me again. But I just really wanted to emphasize that the thing that has profoundly struck me most of all in dealing with the people that I've been talking to verify this story is you can't ignore the psionic issue. It's intrinsic to the experience of the phenomenon. And yes, it's confronting, but I'm not here to convince you. I'm just here to say, well, I'm sorry, you know, get over it, you know, grow up and move on. If people think that they can't deal with it, then go and do something else. You know, go and you don't have to understand this issue. But eventually, and I think it'll come sooner rather than later, there is going to be an unveiling. I mean, I think the public, I'm excited about it because of what it says about humans and our role in the universe. And it goes well beyond the simple question of whether we're talking here about a non-human intelligence. It perhaps goes to the explanation of who we are. You know, where did the Homo sapiens come from? It goes to the question of, you know, do we survive death? Is there something about the human mind that allows us to communicate externally in a way that we don't yet understand? And everybody I'm talking to is thrilled and excited by that, the implications of that. And they're, even the warriors, particularly the warriors, are crestfallen that the emphasis of the superpowers is to focus on it as weaponry. And that essentially the large part of the reason why the public aren't being told about this, or presidents aren't being told, which I think is outrageous, is the fact that they've tried to develop a military superiority. And look, without going into too much detail, and I won't be pushed beyond this point, I am aware of weaponry that has been developed, which goes far beyond what we understand is our most powerful weaponry on this planet. And there are implications in this technology which are terrifying. And I can understand why a general sitting there making a decision about disclosure or not might very well err on the side of secrecy because it's just all too hard to think about having to be open and public about it. But the mistake that they've made, the crime involved in what they've done, and it is a crime, but I don't think people should be prosecuted criminally. I think maybe the people who've been murdering people should be, but the simple fact is the people who've conspired in the cover-up, they need to be understood. They did this for entirely patriotic reasons. They did it because they believed they were doing the right thing. But to withhold from the commander-in-chief of successive presidencies going back decades, to withhold information that was pertinent to their understanding of international relations, to understanding the motivations, for example, of their Russian rivals or their Chinese rivals, to actually withhold that evidence is a disgrace. And that's what lies at the heart of all of this, is that the excessive secrecy, I think now, is to more to do with butt covering by those who've been responsible for the cover-up than it is for any reasonable reason about why the public ought not to know.
You had Dr. Jim Segala on the second part of that Fallout piece, and I spoke to Jim a few months ago, and he's great to speak to. And you mentioned, like you've kind of touched on there, that you're not quite sure how to report on abductions, and that's why you've not really done so yet, and that aspect of the phenomenon, very difficult aspect of this topic to report on. Have you ever spoken to anyone who, when you've touched on it behind the scenes, they have mentioned about any programs around being able to bring on abductions?
Oh, look, I've heard, like everybody, I've heard the MyLab allegations, the idea that there's alleged collusion between the military and non-human intelligences. If I knew the proof for that, I'd run it. But I've never really seen hard evidence. I can tell you, though, I do think there is a commonality of reporting. I mean, some people have spoken about it publicly, like Jim Semivan. I don't think it's any coincidence that people like Jay Stratton, head of the UAP task force at one stage, Jim Semivan, a guy who worked at the very highest levels of the CIA and took an interest in the UAP subject, numerous other people that I know, some of whom are not public figures, but who are at the very highest levels, either former or serving in the US administration, have had encounters with the phenomenon that have often been quite terrifying, that have included what they would probably think of as abductions. And I admire and commend Colonel John Blitch for having the courage to talk about what he says happened to him. And I think there's an issue there. I just don't know the answer. And that's why this needs to be investigated. That's why this continued secrecy is absurd. I've waited. I've genuinely waited, Andy. And, periodically through my research, I pretty much always have a conversation where I push back my chair and I say to the person that I'm having the conversation with, listen, is there any good reason that you can think of for why the public shouldn't know about this? And a couple of them have said, some of it's terrifying. You know, there is this issue of abductions and, you know, there are human mutilations and animal mutilations and, you know, clearly not all the non-humans are friendly. But ultimately, at the heart of it, why should we be withheld from knowledge of something that, personally, I just take it for granted now. And I know there probably are, you know, there's the Michael Shermers of this world out there who are sitting all around, and the, God bless him, Mick West, who actually I think serves a very useful purpose. Skepticism's important. Not debunking, though. And I think he comes dangerously close to debunking at the moment. He's losing his credibility because he's becoming a debunker rather than a skeptic. I think it's important that these people express their views, but ultimately, it doesn't really matter a jot if, frankly, they don't engage with the possibility that this is real. And at some stage, there is going to be a public reckoning. There is going to be... I don't think the president will ever sit there at a lectern and say there are non-human intelligences. I think eventually there's just going to be a slow reveal. There'll be a slow admission. And I think, you know, even talking to people in the Pentagon myself or the intelligence community, I think there's the beginning of a realization that it's untenable for this cover-up to continue. It's becoming a bit of a joke. The volume, I mean, one of the reasons I'm so exhausted at the moment is in between the puerile porn stuff that people have been directing my way, there's literally tens of thousands of people reaching out to me, including news sources with information. People who are people who've been in the psionic program, people in the legacy program who want to share. It's like a floodgates has opened. And I'm already talking to people at senior levels in the Congress, people in the Trump administration who want to know the truth. And I can't quite believe it because, you know, if anybody had ever told me that Donald Trump would be the agent of disclosure, I would have laughed. But if anything fits into his narrative, be it true or not, about a deep state, it's this idea of a cabal of people in intelligence and defense who have taken it upon themselves to commit crimes to conceal a monstrous secret, the biggest secret in human history. And it's just amazing to me because the Trump administration does look like it's moving towards disclosure. I'm getting feel-outs from people in the administration who are saying, you know, we want to hear from these witnesses. We want to engage. We want this evidence. We're going to be asking questions. It's happening. And one day, I'm reserving a very fine bottle of malt scotch for that opportunity when an admission is made that firmly puts the debunkers in their place. I think that day is not too far away.
So the interview was one aspect of what was covered and shown. The other aspect of it was the video. So we had a 12-second clip revealed to us showing a long rope I'm sure everyone's seen it by now, long rope, object on the end of it, and some kind of canopy or tarp, egg-shaped, looked like an egg, but at a distance, and you're looking at it through what looks like some kind of night vision or green kind of effect over the camera for whatever sensor or equipment that is. I'll always say, show me a video any day of the week, and I don't care whether I can conclude on it. This one is another one. Like most, I can't say what that is, or, you know, but just by the nature of it. Same with the gimbal, go fast, all that kind of stuff. But I will always look at an interesting video, and this was certainly interesting. Can you talk around the video, Ross? And for example, there's a lot of folks put on, and let's forget the nice ones who are like, yeah, this looks like something anomalous, or I don't know what's interesting. People saying potentially like a fuel bladder or a balloon or something prosaic. Yeah. You've done the digging and the due diligence. What is there that you can go, I am pretty certain I'm not showing something like that?
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is, what I can tell you is that Jake Barber has given 4.5 hours of testimony to a skiff in the Senate. Very, very detailed testimony. And that testimony includes extraordinary detail about the so-called egg and the so-called eightgon, the octagon. Mm. I'm leaving it at that. I'm not in a position to be able to argue publicly about the merits of, you know, armchair critics making their criticisms. I mean, let them carp. I mean, I just don't care. I mean, the bottom line is, I know a lot of detail behind the scenes. That detail's being provided to the right people, and people are just going to have to wait. They're just going to have to wait and see. But the simple fact is, what I would point you to is that the egg phenomenon has been a consistent part of UAP, UFO reporting going back many, many decades. It is a very well-known object, and it is a very, very well-researched object, one that the United States has known a great deal about. I mean, you can actually go into Defense Department archives and see reports from Los Alamos when they were testing early nuclear weapons, and scientists reported egg-shaped objects over the Los Alamos test range. This is not something new, and the simple fact is, I don't think any of the very detailed information that's been provided to the right authorities about the egg or the eightgon is in any way a surprise. I think what is a surprise, and bottom line is, one of the issues with videos is, I'm skeptical in this day and era as to whether any video would ever satisfy anybody, because in the world of AI, it's now possible to create any kind of image. You know, I was watching one the other day where Barack Obama is sitting next to President Trump, and I think Obama starts walloping him, you know, and they start having a fist fight. And it's brilliant. It's quite funny. It didn't happen, but it looks incredibly real. And the fact that it's so easy now to render fake videos, I get sent hundreds of them, thousands of them a week. I don't know what's real and what's fake. There was a guy emailed me this morning, actually, saying he's got 400 plus videos of non-human intelligence that he wants to share with me. What's the point? I mean, what can I do with that? There's absolutely nothing I can do with that. You can't verify, let me just say that you can't verify a video by just looking at the video. You have to look at the provenance, and you have to look in the context of what we know about what operations are going on. And what I can tell you is that full information about the egg and the eightgon have been provided to the Senate. And in fact, the interesting thing is, the Senate's had that information since mid to late last year. And one of the issues for Mr. Barber is, what are they doing with it? Why hasn't there been any movement on it? And this is the issue. A lot of whistleblowers right now are sitting, talking to me and talking to other people, people like James Fox, including people, interestingly enough, even though people love to hate him, and he seems to hate me at the moment as well, as Stephen Greer. There are people sitting in the sidelines who are waiting to come forward, and they're waiting to see how Jake Barber gets treated. That's why what Jake's done is incredibly courageous, because they're waiting to see whether their evidence is going to be taken seriously, and then they will come forward. And frankly, at the moment, Congress, it has been a miserable failure, because the politicians are weak people who are terrified of upsetting the arms industry, the private aerospace industry, and they're not going to take a risk. And so what they've done is they've used their staffers. There's a standard strategy inside the Congress where whenever people like Jake Barber have come forward, and he's just a fraction of the people that have come forward, whenever people like Jake Barber have come forward, they tend to give evidence to just the staffers. And that's done. Often the staffers are actually legal counsel, and it gives the politician distance from the allegations, and it gives them even a degree of plausible deniability. And I had a conversation recently with a senator, with a very senior senator, who I know should know about the Jake Barber allegations. And he hadn't been told about it. And he was angry that he didn't know about it. And so I think part of the problem here is there's a trust issue for whistleblowers, because staffers inside the Congress need to realize it's not good enough anymore to try and insulate their politicians from this story. It's going to come out. They need to fully brief their members and let them know what they've got, because there's an awful lot of information that's already been provided in SCIFs in the Congress that if politicians were properly briefed about it, it'd be very, very hard for them to say what Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick has, I think, disingenuously asserted in public, which is that there's been no first-hand evidence. That is not true. There has been first-hand evidence presented by witnesses, multiple witnesses, including Jake Barber, including about the egg and the Aikon. There's been very detailed information about the locations of facilities, the types of craft. Now, you have to ask yourself, why is there this inertia? And I think part of it is because all the way through Congress, there's self-interest dictating what people do about this. It's kind of a looking and watching game. Everybody's looking around and seeing where everybody else is in the race. Because if it looks like the tide's going to turn, which it is, especially with this wonderful Age of Disclosure documentary, which I'm privy to, there's going to be a momentum. And we're at that moment now in the Congress where, frankly, there's been cowardly behaviour from senior politicians and their staffers, a lack of willingness to engage because they're terrified of this UAP subject. Part of it is they don't want to bite the hand that feeds them, because the private aerospace military industrial complex pays them enormous amounts of money in campaign donations. They make decisions about where they allocate their factories and their bases, and that has an enormous amount of benefit for individual politicians. They're so easily manipulated. But also they're terrified of this subject because they're scared of it. It's a stigma. You know, I think it's pretty clear now that this is real. It's pretty clear now that as a politician, especially people in the Gang of Eight, you can't continue denying that there is an issue here that is worthy of investigation. Yes, there are UAPs. Yes, there is a non-human intelligence. And there's very, very likely technology that has been recovered by the United States. And you know, I guess I still wonder, for example, when David Grush referred obliquely in his interview with me in 2023 to agreements, you know, is there some agreement that we don't know about that is constraining the US from speaking about this? And frankly, I've been waiting for somebody in the national security establishment, and I talk to a lot of people, to reach out to me and say, hey, look, Ross, you need to know this. This is why we can't talk about this. That hasn't happened. And normally, I don't want to sound self-important, but you know, when I'm working on a story sometimes, I let it be known. I'm looking at the story. If there's any good reason why you think I can't report it, tell me. You know, I accept that there are things that are national security sensitive that can't properly be revealed. And the interesting thing is nobody has reached out. And I think it's basically because there is no dark reason for why the secret can't be kept shouldn't be revealed.
Ross, I mentioned I was inundated with listener questions for you, but what I've done is condense it down to kind of 5 or 6 main points for a quick fire round for you. Fly through. So Age of Disclosure trailer, just a few words from you on that.
The Age of Disclosure is going to be a profoundly important movie. There are people speaking out who've never spoken out before, and they are making no secret that there is a reality with non-human intelligence engaging with this planet. It shows the definitive lie to the Pentagon's position. It is now untenable for the Defense Department to maintain the cover-up.
Have you come across in your research any ideas that these entities and or objects are related to old gods such as the Greeks?
Like everybody else, I've heard the speculation. I don't know one way or the other.
When did you last have a personal experience with this phenomenon?
I had my first experience with the phenomenon of any substantive nature during the research for this story. I've witnessed people who are psionic summoning craft.
And is the latest leaked video, the egg video you've released, a shot across the bow or bona fide evidence? And that was a Matthew Pine suggestion on with Matt Ford on The Good Trouble Show.
I don't think any video is ever prima facie evidence. I mean, we live in an era where videos, frankly, are so forgeable, so hoaxable, it's kind of pointless. I think the most important evidence in this story is the first-hand evidence of Jake Barber, who's willing to put himself under scrutiny by the various oversight committees and agencies. And he's already, I'm hoping, reaching out to people in the Congress and in the Trump administration and preparing to speak with them in detail. And I think it's also incredibly significant that his allegations are backed by first-hand colleagues who are prepared to publicly identify themselves. That's significant evidence. And the idiots over the years who've said, there are no first-hand witnesses, you know, where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? We're giving you that. Here's first-hand witnesses. Treat these people with respect, because if you don't treat these people with respect, nobody else is going to come forward. And that's why you're seeing this intelligence community-driven, bot-driven attack on social media. I take a lot of what I see on social media with a huge grain of salt, because people don't realize how easily the manipulation is happening of algorithms in pages like Facebook, Meta, or whatever you call it these days, TikTok, and Twitter. You know, there are people in the intelligence community who are running influence operations through social media, and they're trying to change public opinion. They're trying to drive skepticism. They're trying to shut this story down. Let them try.
And Ross, what are you working on right now?
There are 1,000 new leads that I have from this story. I've been working on other stories. Obviously, I'm looking very closely at the psionics issue. I'm already in contact with many people all over America and around the world who are aware of the psionics issue. I'm in absolutely no doubt at all that there is a link between human consciousness and the phenomenon, and that's where my research is taking me.
And Ross, I just want to say thank you for me, because you were part of the Encounter series that's just went out on Wondery Plus, Apple and Spotify. I interviewed you for that on Rendlesham, so folks can hear you on that as well. Selfish plug. But as always, mate, thank you so much for your time and well done with the research. And I look forward to seeing those extended interviews coming out soon.
Thank you, Andy. And look, those extended interviews will be posted very, very shortly. On the day we're talking, they should be out within a few hours.
Hi everyone, if you listen to the podcast on an Apple device, you can support directly by going on to Apple Podcasts and clicking the subscribe button, and for less than the price of a coffee per month, you can get early access to episodes, episodes in full, and no adverts or sponsorships like this one you're hearing now. It also supports directly to me at the podcast, so thank you very much. Also, don't forget to go and leave the podcast on Apple a 5-star review and make sure you click the follow button too. Thanks.